我最近就不让念那味道，我还有点忘记那个时候。我到，我开飞，我开釜山，什么在阿文林，还有那个妈妈，因红毛带，妈妈是红毛带，是苏哈是海尔林，老吴是格温，武汉，是在武汉还是苏哈？
I heard a story that soldiers went into a mosque and a woman ran out wearing a vest. They screamed Shema Israel. She stopped because it turns out she was Jewish. She heard Shema and then she said, I can't. Yeah. You heard that also?
Yeah. Soldiers in Gaza entered to a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
That was with wanted to look for, to seek for terrorists over there. They entered into the mosque and they saw a woman start to run to them, toward them, with bombing.
Explosive vest.
And one of the soldiers screamed, Shema Israel, from the field. He screamed, Shema Israel. And the moment that he screamed, Shema Israel, she stopped and the mosque freeze, frozen, started to shake. They arrested her and removed all of the bombings and everything, and she confessed that she is a Jewish woman that for years got married to an Ishmaeli that was abusing her for years and forced her to mash.
Mm-hmm.
And they took her and they made an action to take her children, two boys, from her house, from the family, and brought her to Eretz Israel, to Yad Lachim. And she also gave a lot of information to the Shabak on the terrorists. She knew a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. This is the power. There is that whole book of the Rabbi Mikloisenburg's sons that he's telling about on the power of Shema Israel, that he caused all of the Holocaust with the power of Shema Israel. He said how much hundreds of stories and miracles of people, but only because they said that it was the first Shema Israel. And this is,
you know what happened with you, Shema Israel?
So, there's not a shame. And before Tisha B'Av, Mamash, on the edge of Chatzot Yom, Mamash, Rabbeinu is telling us that. And a very important thing about Tisha B'Av that actually we're not crying on the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Just actually we're crying on the troubles that we have today, means on the distance that we have from Hashem Yitbarach, the distance that we have from the righteous man, from the tzaddik. On that we're crying. Al Daka Batina. So you remember that story from the Gemara, that there was that old righteous man that was sitting and smiling and laughing in the time of the destruction of the Mikdash. And they thought he lost his mind. They asked him, why are you smiling? Why are you happy? Everyone are mourning, everyone are suffering. And he said, I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing out all of his anger on wooden stones, on the building itself, and not on his nation. So I'm happy. So actually, on the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, the truth is that we just need to be happy. It's written on Moshe Rabbeinu that he was breaking the holy tablets in front of all of Am Yisrael, Le'enei Kol Yisrael. So why was he supposed to do that in front of Am Yisrael? Why? If you understand that this is what you need to do, so take the holy tablets and break them. Great, do that. What's the problem? Why you need to bring them down in front of Am Yisrael and to show all of Am Yisrael that you're breaking them in front of them? Why? That he wanted to tell Am Yisrael, even though that I was supposed to give you such an amazing way to communicate with Hashem, the holy Torah, to give you those holy tablets, even though that I could mamash connect you to Hashem, you should know that you don't need that pipe. Really, to connect yourself to Hashem Yitbarach, you can, even without the holy tablets. This is why you had to show them to Am Yisrael. Immediately after that, he's keep on connecting them to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's rebuking them and helping them and going back to pray on them. So he didn't back off from connecting Am Yisrael to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. He continued. But he showed them that you don't need nothing to connect yourself to Hashem. Like the David HaMelech is saying, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mibesarich Ezeeloka, to all of Am Yisrael, he's telling them, from my flesh I can see Hashem. I can learn on Hashem Yitbarach for myself. A lot of people, all of their tshuva process started as a spiritual task. Looking for Hashem Yitbarach, looking for themselves, looking for spirituality, looking for love, looking for good. After a while, they found something and they started to walk after that. And then they forgot it. And they become to be religious. And they're putting tefillin every day, and they're going to shul every day, and even maybe to mikveh every day. And even they can do an arid badadut without a heart, and they forget Hashem. And they lost Hashem in their journey after Hashem Yitbarach. In the beginning they were looking for Hashem. Now actually they're looking for comfort. They came back to the same place, and even worse. Because in that place, now that they're learning Torah, their Yetzirah is even bigger. Larger, because they develop, because they become to be a lot more sensitive, a lot more pure, a lot closer to Hashem Yitbarach. Nachman, go alive, Hashem. Both tzaddik. Because of that, the Yetzer Hara also grows. Because the Yetzer Hara now grows, so they're in a harder, deeper problem. And they don't have what to do. So on that, we need to scream on the darkness of today. On the darkness of today, not on what that happens, not on the fact that we were chilonim, on that we're going to cry, on the fact that you didn't know that there was Hashem, that there is Hashem Yitbarach 20 years ago, on that you're going to cry. Now you know that there is Hashem, on that you need to cry, you need to be happy, you need to praise Hashem. So on what you're going to cry? You're going to cry on what that you don't have today, on how much still today, even though that you are religious, even though that you are keeping Shabbos, even though that you are trying to guard your eyes, how far we are from Hashem. On that we need to cry. We need to feel the distance. We need to feel the destruction, the exile, the galut, the darkness that is fighting with us every day, every day, every day. Every day, every day, every day. The sorrow is growing and the bitterness is growing. And even when you're developing and you're growing also and developing, also the confusions are growing. Also the doubts are growing. Every day another student from this class is coming to me in this class and think how crazy it is to tell me, to share from all of his heart that he's got doubts if there is Hashem in the world or not. People are really going through horrible, bad thoughts, crazy thoughts. I don't know, really, and I am talking to him every day, and I do believe, but I don't see, and I don't feel, and I don't understand, and I do understand, and I do remember, and I don't know, and what's going on? How can it be? How can it be? It's only because you're growing. When you're growing, and you kill your Yetzer Hara in the last level, his elder brother is coming to fight with you in the next one. And if you're going to kill that Yetzer Hara, you need to prepare yourself to the next battle. This is reality. And you cannot escape from that. It will always going to be like that. And the real, huge, righteous people, they have a war with the angel of death, with Malach HaMavet. That he is the biggest, largest angel in heaven, the most important angel in heaven. And with him, they're fighting. So you need to prepare yourself to a war. This is what the Zohar HaKadosh is saying to us. Who is the one that is winning the war, that conquers the battle? The one that holds the weapon in his hand. So the Zohar is asking on that. How can you answer like that? How can you say that the one that won still holds the weapon? If he holds the weapon, means that he's still fighting. So the Zohar is answering on that also. If he's fighting, he's winning. Because the war is not ending until the fat lady stings. Until it's over. They asked Rabbeinu HaKadosh when the Yetzer Hara going to stop ticking. He said in the second shovel of earth in grave. Means after the funeral, after all of the eulogizing, means all in all of that journey of taking him, escorting him, walking with him to the grave. All of that time he still got Yetzer Hara telling him, oh look, how many people are walking with you, oh you are such a righteous man. All of that arrogance. The Baal Shem Tov was whispering to Hashem on his deathbed, אל תבוא אין לי רגל גאווה, that I won't be arrogant, that I won't be arrogant, that I won't be arrogant. If a Baal Shem Tov had to pray on that, so us, so many times more, we need to scream on that, and to beg on that, and to cry on that. And the Baal Shem Tov talked once about arrogant, and he compared it, he explained it in a tale on a person that took a wagon, and a wagon driver, and they were driving in the flat. And then the person fell asleep, dozed off, and fell asleep. And the driver took the wagon on a hill and drove again in another flat, but in a higher place. And then that person woke up, and for him it was the same flat. He said, this is the way of arrogant. That a man is arrogant, and he thinks that he's humble. He feels that he's in the flat. He thinks that it's obvious that his wife needs to make a cup of coffee when he comes home. It's obvious that the food have to be ready and hot when he's coming home. It's obvious that the house has to be clean. Those things are simple. In every other house it's happening. Yeah. But let's say so.
Sure. Sure, of course. All of the other houses, of course. Except of mine.
Yeah, it's nonsense. It's imaginations. It's imaginations. But you live in those imaginations. You're so far from that deep tshuva of judging yourself on every thought. And Rabbeinu is saying a man should judge himself on kol machshava, dibur u'maaseh. Every thought, every word, and every action. We usually, the Chassidei Breslev that are doing it bodedut, that are doing tshuva, confessing in the bodedut, they're doing tshuva on the actions. What I was doing, how I was praying, if I was concentrating, those are the actions. If I was chas shalom lying, talking lashon hara, not learning today like I should, on the actions. What with all of the words, and what with all of the thoughts? On every thought you need to do tshuva. This is what Rabbeinu said, it's bodedut karaui. It's bodedut like you should do, it's to judge yourself on every thought that crossed your mind. Was I supposed to think like that or not? And of course it's hard. No one is saying that it's easy. But to that we need to want, to desire that, to wish for that, to wish. The Mishnah in Brachot, I saw that amazing, amazing way of learning. The Mishnah in Brachot, I saw yesterday, it's written, Hayarochev alachamor, if a person is riding the donkey, Yered, he needs to go down from the donkey to pray, he wants to pray, he needs to pray Shmona Esrei. If he's on the donkey, he needs to go down from the donkey. If he cannot go down from the donkey, he needs to tilt his face toward the direction of Beit HaMikdash. If he cannot face Beit HaMikdash, so he needs to face his heart.
Imagine.
But his heart. Aim his heart toward Kodesh HaKodeshim. So I thought to myself, this is the way they're teaching us how to pray, how to come to tefillah. If you're riding the donkey, the chamor, it's chomriyut. If you're connected to the physicality of your body, to the chomriyut, yered, you need to go down from that. But if you cannot, and it's hard for you, you need to face yourself to Hashem Yitbarach, to Beit HaMikdash. What it means to face yourself means to pray, to show your face, to be in front of Hashem, to pray. And if you cannot do that also, you need to aim your heart, means to want. This is the will. So first of all, you have a lot of things to do. If you're able, do them. If you're not able to do that, pray on that. If you're not able to pray on it, keep the will. Keep on wanting. This is the heart. And the heart, you need to aim it to Kodesh HaKodeshim, to the highest place of them all. Not to Beit HaMikdash, not to Jerusalem, to Kodesh HaKodeshim. Means that when you reveal your desire, you need to desire for the highest things of them all. And to scream to Hashem Yitbarach from the bottom of your heart, why I'm so far from Kedusha? Why I'm so far from holiness? Why I'm so far from Torah? Why I'm so far from you, Hashem? Why? I said it 2 days ago to one of our friends that a lot of concepts, a lot of issues that Rav Shalom was talking about, I can understand a lot about them. On Shalom Bayit, I can understand a lot about peace between people, Derech Eretz. I can understand him, the importance of tefillah, go, talking to Hashem, itbodedut. I understand a lot. There is one small issue that Rav Shalom is talking about all of the time that causes faith, that on that, I don't understand nothing. On faith, I don't understand what Rav wants from us. And I'm going to explain to you why. Even though that he is attaching everything to faith, when it comes to faith, I don't understand what Rav is talking about. I'm going to explain to you why. Because now if I'm telling you, enod milvado, there is nothing except of Hashem. Now, you have a stain on your clothes. In the moment that you have a stain on your clothes, you have a stain on your clothes. Where is Hashem? Not there. Now you have an issue with your wife. In that moment, you have an issue with your wife. What is Hashem? Hashem is not there. Means in the moment that you meet life, you forget Hashem. In the moment that you forget Hashem, Hashem is not there. So to talk about faith and to live in faith, it's two different things that are not connected to each other. We can talk on faith as much as we want, but we still don't believe in Hashem. You believe that there is Hashem somewhere. You believe in that concept. You can feel it once in a while in a certain illumination, a spark that you have in your life. But in the moment that it passed, and you're not there anymore. You can keep on talking on it, like you live that, like you have it, like it's your level. But the truth is that you already forgot it, and you don't know what you're talking about. And if you keep on talking, you keep on lying. Because where is Hashem for you now? If Hashem is with you, you're happy. If Hashem is with you, you're healthy. If Hashem is with you, you're rich. You're samech b'chelko, you're happy. You don't have no lacking. Faith, this is something that Rav Shalom calls it emunah chushit. Physical faith. He feels Hashem. Like that Rabbi Nathan brought that verse, Vayir'eta Elokim, I see God. It doesn't mean that he sees like the prophet saw a figure of an old man sits on his throne of honor. No. We're talking on a such solid, stable faith that you see the private supervision, Hashem is breathing in front of your eyes, alive in front of you, every moment of your life. It's not your wife talking to you. It's not your friends. It's not your rabbi. It's not your yetzer hara. It's not the bank. It's not the police. It's not the Hamas. It's nothing. It's Hashem. It's barach 24/7, infinity, endless. And where is it for us? Now we're talking and we don't know what we're talking about. We don't feel it. The only thing that we have is the will to want. The only thing, because even if you're going to decide, all right, from now on I'm going to believe in Hashem. Okay. Nice phrase, nice theory, nice words. Maybe also coming from a good place. Maybe. Doesn't give you nothing. Doesn't bring you nowhere. The only thing that can bring you somewhere is the will. Because בדרך שבה אדם רוצה ללך מוליכין אותו. Because in the path, in the way that a man wants to walk in, they're going to lead him. You have to come to that place that you understand that they are leading you. That Hashem is leading you. That your good mitzvot, your merit are leading you. Taking you. You are not doing nothing. It's all Hashem. So you can just want. This is how you express yourself. Means your will. That this is who that you are. You are your will. And you need to drop all of your imaginations, all of your thoughts, all of your imaginations that you feel like you're gonna do and you need to do, and to drop all of those nonsense. It's all coverings. It's all imaginations. It's all husks. It's all darkness. Even if it's a lot more beautiful and illuminating and shining than other imaginations of people that are really chasing after low lusts and desires and nonsense of this world and sins and crimes and all right, I understand. It's better. It's better to be religious, Rav Shalom said. It's better to be religious than to be a carpenter, than to be a truck driver. It's better to have a nice profession, that you're religious, that you learn Torah. It's better, but it's still a profession. It's still, you live in the imaginary world. Really, to connect yourself to reality, it's to cancel yourself to infinity. And then, you don't have no selfish will. You just want whatever Hashem wants. This is something that me, myself, I'm not holding it. I'm not, I don't have it. And I don't even have it to, for sure not to hand it to you. Just the will, this is what that we can talk about. On the desire to Hashem Yitbarach, that holy desire to Hashem Yitbarach, that holy will. And when you express that will, you're removing from yourself all of those curtains, all of those husks that are stopping you from being who that you really are from inside. Who that you are from inside, you are a soul. A soul is the light of Hashem. As a light of Hashem, you can just connect to Hashem. And whenever you feel disconnected, it's because that you don't let yourself be who that you are. Every time that you feel that you're not doing right, that you're not in the right place, that you don't let yourself be who that you are. One of the friends called me from the United States yesterday. He told me, I desire to come to Eretz Israel. I don't know what to do. I asked him why. He said, I asked my rabbi. And he told me, I'm not allowed to come. I asked him, you want me to talk to your rabbi? For sure it's going to be our last conversation, but do you want me to try? How can a person take that responsibility on himself to stop a person from reaching Tachlis, coming to Eretz Israel to make Aliyah? How, where you find that courage, that imagination that you can know what is good for someone else? Today someone came to me and told me I was in Tzfat. I thought to myself, I want to move to Tzfat. I told him, go away, go enjoy, go to Tzfat. Not Chas Shalom that I don't want him to be here. Can you know? Maybe his Shiduch is in Tzfat. Maybe he's got sparks in the fields in Tzfat. What do you know? You found all of your sparks only here in Yeshivat Chut Shel Chesed in the fourth floor? I found sparks in Hollywood movies. What are you talking about? I found sparks of my Kedusha in hell. So how can I tell someone what to do in his life? I can just tell him to believe in himself and to listen to his, the voice of his soul, to the inner voice, and to talk about it with Hashem. And Hashem going to illuminate for you the real path that you need to walk in. Maybe after 1 year in Tzfat, he's going to come back with superpowers and huge understanding. Well, I remember myself. I was 3 days before I got married. I was 3 days in Tzfat, in the forest in Tzfat. I was only drinking for 3 days. I was making it bodedut over there for 3 days. I was only drinking for 3 days. I was sleeping over there in the mountains with two friends of mine. I felt amazing. I developed in a way that I cannot express, I can never share, cannot tell you. In the third day, mamash, I knew exactly that Hashem is exist, and that Hashem is with me, and that it's all love, and that I have to commit myself to Avodat Hashem, and I didn't know nothing. I wasn't putting tefillin, didn't have talit, nothing. I remember in the beginning of my tshuva, I was wearing a hat all of the time. Someone asked me, why are you wearing a hat? I told him, I feel it concentrates my thoughts. It helped me to concentrate. From inside, my tshuva was inner. I felt it from inside that it helps me. I felt all of those things. But if you were not going to let yourself go to that quiet place, you're never going to feel it. So how can you stop a person from searching, finding Hashem? How can you tell him? And again and again and again, I'm going to tell you, if you remember that class that we were talking here on Eretz Israel, and Yosef, maybe upload that class again in the YouTube, that everyone going to see that again. The importance of coming to Eretz Israel, it's an advice to survive. You don't know what you're doing to yourself when you're still there. Everyone that lives now in Eretz Israel is a refugee. He's been saved already. You're here, you're safe, you're home. When you're there, you don't know what's going to be. They can decide in one moment that they're closing the gates. What are you going to do? You're going to swim to Eretz Yisrael? What are you going to do? Nothing to do. You lost all of your property in one moment. You lost your house in one moment. You lost your credit card, your visa. Nothing. You have your green card. What are you going to do with that? They can confiscate it also. Send you to Colombia. What are you going to do? You're not in your land. You're not between your brothers. So you need to take all of your family. So do that. Run for your life. You don't understand. People don't understand. People live in imagination. And I'm sorry to frighten you. I don't know what to say. People lived in imaginations before of the Holocaust also. You know how many millions of Ishmaelim, damned Ishmaelim, lives now in the United States, in all of the wide world, in France, in England. You know what's going on? Every day the Jews are not being attacked in a crazy way, it's a miracle. And they are. Slowly, the fire is growing. And they still live in their imaginations of their own fears and anxieties. No, to lose that house with the backyard that they have and that bank account that they have in Switzerland and their business that are working and the family. And they don't understand that they're playing with life. They don't understand it. They have a certain husk that is covering their eyes. They have those clouds that are closing their eyes from see and recognize reality. Reality is frightening. There are millions of Jews, they cannot come. Even if we were going to decide today, all of Am Israel to come, we cannot do that. We're not able to do that. They're not going to let us. So everyone that is running, and if your wife is stopping you and telling you don't go, you need to tell your wife what that Hasid Bretlev told their wives. I'm going. You can come or not come. This is it. And if you think I'm crazy, I agree with you. No question about it. My wife going to tell you that I'm crazy. My children going to tell you I'm crazy. My rabbi going to tell you I'm crazy. All of my friends going to testify to me that I'm crazy. But if you're not going to be crazy, you will never going to be able to serve Hashem Yitbarach in this world. All of the normal people, so-called normal, they're not serving Hashem. They're in the university. They're watching news all day long. They're normal. My mother visited us today. She told us, you're all wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. My wife asked her, why you think you're right? She said, I saw it in the television and you don't see television. My wife told us, but maybe they're lying. Maybe they've shown you something that is not real. Maybe they made that show just for you. This is what they're doing always. This is what they're doing always. They're blinding us. They don't let us see the truth. They don't let us see Hashem. Hashem is here. Hashem is with us. In Eretz Yisrael you see miracles that you cannot see nowhere else in the world. You cannot see those kinds of miracles nowhere. Nowhere. But all of that, because we're going to work on that to hide those miracles. How we're surviving here. None of us is working. None of us is doing nothing. And even what that you do, your small ishtadlut, this is nothing. So you work for 2 hours a day, you work for 3 hours a day, and you have a family and a house, and you live, and you learn, and you do it bodeduyot, and you fly to Uman once or twice a year, and on, and you visit your family, and you can go once in a while to a restaurant, and you buy things to your wife. How it's going on? How? Except of one way, that there is Hashem Yitbarach, that He's given you everything that you need. The truth is you don't have time to work, and you're not working, and you still find parnasa. You don't have time to work on your shalom bayit like you should, and you still have shalom bayit. You don't have time to learn Torah, and you develop and you grow. Your wisdom is growing. And on all subjects it's like that. On your holiness, purity, on your happiness, on your health. You eat garbage all day long and your health is Baruch Hashem.
And you eat garbage. If you would understand what you eat every day, you will never, no one can explain how the body keep on functioning with the tons of garbage that we're feeding ourselves daily. It's not supposed to work. Throw that garbage to your car, it's going to stop after 1 minute. After 1 minute, it's going to stop. No machine can work on garbage. And you're working, and you're 70 years old, 80 years old, going, and you have powers to scream on everyone, to rebuke everyone. Where all that fuel is coming, except from your neshama, that you have a soul. You have a soul. Lo al lechem levado yichya adam. I mean, he's not alive because of the bread alone. Hashem mechamemit u'mechaye. Hashem gives life. Hashem is killing. Hashem is reviving. Hashem, he lets you breathe. Hashem, he lets you see. Hashem, open your ears. Give you power, spiritual powers. How can you see? Can you see? You cannot see. And you see. Can you hear? Can you create something that's going to hear? Can you create something that's going to see? You cannot. You taste and you smell and you see and you hear and you feel. What? How? How all of those things are happening? Do you have those abilities? Can you see? Can you decide, today I'm going to see? And if I'm going to decide you're not, what are you going to do? You are not going to see. People woke up and cannot see. People woke up and cannot hear. And people didn't woke up also. What are you going to do? It's not in your hands. And if you do have it, you received it. And if you received life, life, precious life, what else do you need? You are not going to die out of hunger. This is it. You see that you have parnasa. You see that you're eating. You see that you're drinking. So you need to be a little bit humiliated in that process. So what? So your wife gonna not going to be happy, going to complain a little bit. So your parents going to rebuke you. So what? So accept those insultings a little bit. Work on your humility a little bit. And keep on running and chasing after Hashem Yitbarach in Mesirut Nefesh. Like lions that don't know how to go back. And I'm talking to Hasidim, and I'm talking to Litaim, and I'm talking to Jews, and I'm talking to non-Jews, and I'm talking to everyone that Yirat Hashem is touching his heart. Everyone that wants Hashem, he needs to run after Hashem Yitbarach in Mesirut Nefesh. And this is it. And stop with all of those excuses and reasons why you cannot serve Hashem. What Hashem is asking you, only to Yirah, only to believe in Him, pray only from Him. You have a mitzvah, lo ta'aseh, lo taguru mipnei ish. You're not allowed to be afraid of no man. It's a mitzvah, a prohibition, midoraita. Lo taguru mipnei ish. You're not allowed to be afraid of no one, of no man. Not from your wife, not from your boss, not from your rabbi, not from your friends, not from your parents, not from yourself, not from no one. You're not allowed to be afraid. Fear, it's only from heaven. Only fear from Hashem. You lack of that, on that we need to cry. On that you need to cry. That you're afraid of people. Why are you afraid of people? Because you're afraid to lose your confidence, you're afraid to lose your safety, you're afraid to lose your lust, your desires. Your confidence. You're afraid. You're afraid that you are not going to be able to stay lazy as you are now. You're afraid that someone's going to push you to confront with yourself, to deal with yourself, to admit, I'm low. I'm a liar. I'm wrapped and attached after my lust and stupid desires. I'm pathetic. I'm low. I'm a very poor person. That I have my nonsense in my head. That I'm after those nonsense, those pathetic things, I'm low. You're afraid to admit. You're afraid to stand in front of Hashem Yitbarach and to tell Him, Hashem, I'm sorry. You're afraid. You're afraid to admit. To stand in front of the mirror and to say, this is who that I am. This is me. I'm sorry, Hashem. But if you're going to admit and going to drop your nonsense in your will, you're going to say, Hashem, I don't want those stupidities anymore. Help me. Modeh ve'ozev yerucham. They're going to have mercy on you. They're going to help you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. Going to help you. Going to support you. you're going to find more words in your Yitbodeduyot, and you're going to find more powers to stand against those desires. And in the end, you're going to see that you don't care about it anymore, that you're not there anymore. Once you were struggling with it and you were fighting and mamash, it would ruin your life and confusing your life and your happiness, and mamash, you would go down with it. And today, you don't even think about it once a week. Someone came to me yesterday and told me, you know, the lust for women, mamash, now it makes me crazy. I told him it's nonsense, it's shtuyot. You remember where you were holding 5 years ago? That now you're telling me on your lust to women? Today, shtuyot where you're holding. It's nonsense, you're a kosher man. You are a kosher man. You have a little bit of lust, you have a little bit of desire. Alright, you're falling in the places that you're falling. But this is what you're going to call lust for women? You remember where were you hanging out 5 years ago? You remember what you were doing at night 5 years ago, 10 years ago? You remember where you were holding then? You didn't have 1 minute free in your life. You were always a prisoner of your lust and desire all of the time, suffering and occupied and wandering from one thought to the other and chase after yourself and blame yourself and thinking and lying and preparing and thinking and afraid and all of the time sick. You were sick. And now, once in a while you see a woman and you have a desire, once in a while you see a wife and you want to be with her, what happened? It's nothing. It's shtuyot. You're a kosher person. But the Yetzer is telling you, no, look at your thoughts. When it's still in my thoughts and I'm not doing nothing, great. You remember where was I? Always to think on the truth. Yet's always lying. Like I told you, it doesn't care if to push you from the right side or from the left side. He's going to make you frustrated and sad and broken that you're not Mashiach. Shtuyot. Who wants to be Mashiach? You want to be Mashiach? Mashiach is suffering. So bel cholayim. Who wants to be Mashiach? You need to say bracha in Shalom Malchut. Shelo asani Mashiach. Shelo asani tzadik. Mamash, you need to say bracha on that in the morning. Maybe you need to suggest it, or... In Tisha B'Av, we need to be happy. This is the truth. And even those tears that we have, we need to be so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can cry, that we want to be better people, better persons, that we want to work on ourselves. You see the distance that you have from Hashem Yitbarach, great. Now appreciate the fact that you can see that you can recognize that you care, about that. 5 years ago, you weren't care about it at all. You didn't care. You would hear music in that day, you would eat in that day, you would do whatever in that day. You didn't care. And now you care. And even if you were religious, today you care more. Today you care more. Today you care more. And again, you should know, each and every one of you, every time that we're coming here to this holy building, and we hear that amazing class that we hear every day, our soul is renewing itself. And every day we're growing spiritually, and we're developing, and we're growing. And you need to know that. Last Thursday, I went to the Meshuch Machne Yehuda. A woman came to me and told me, Rav Dror, Shalom Aleichem. She said, I watch your YouTubes every day. And today I was afraid to go to the market, to Meshuch Machne Yehuda, and I saw your shiur, and I decided to go. And she saw me in the market, and we started to talk, Baruch Hashem, a very nice woman. You see those YouTubes, they give power to people, for people to live. They give them power to hold on another day. And this is what it means, Ayomi Bekolot Ishmael. To serve Hashem, you should serve Him today. If you listen to Hashem, you should serve Him today. Don't think about tomorrow. If you have Parnasah for today, serve Him today. You have bread on your table, eat that bread. Thank Hashem on that bread and serve Hashem Yitbarach with all of the power that you received from that bread. And don't think on the next meal. Next meal gonna come. The one that gives life gonna give you food. Don't think on from one day to the other. Don't. It's lack of faith. It's lack of confidence in Hashem Yitbarach. Hashem is so beautiful. Hashem is so amazing. Hashem is here. Hashem is now. Hashem is in the present. He was always with you even when you were so far and Hashem was helping you. Remember those dead days, the darkness, and how much Hashem was there. Saved you from that car accident, saved you from that fight with those bullies in the streets, I don't know what, from horrible things, from using drugs in that night, from drinking another cup of whiskey in that pub, I don't know what. Saved your life. You cannot count the times that Hashem saved your life. You don't know. You're not aware of those times. You don't know how many diseases Hashem saved you from. And weaknesses and failures. And that woman could be pregnant and that woman could be pregnant. All of those things could happen to you. And you don't know how many times Hashem saved your life. And if Hashem saved you in those days, He will not going to save you tomorrow? Why? He's so mean. Why? Based on what? He brought you to today. To today He brought you. So for tomorrow He will not going to bring you. Why? He brought you to Jerusalem. Why will not going to bring you to Beis HaMikdash? He brought you to believe in Him. He brought you to confess in front of Him. So He will not going to forgive you on your avonot? Why? If He brought you to do tshuva, now He will not going to forgive you on your avonot. Why? He brought you, dragged you with all of the excuses that you needed to hear, to come to yeshiva, to come to listen to classes that's going to teach you to believe in yourself, to believe in powers of prayers, and now He will not going to answer your prayers? Where you come up with that stupid idea? Hashem put all of His powers on you to bring you, to drag you, to listen to those classes that you need to believe in yourself, that you need to believe in power of prayer, to hear so many miracles from other people, that in the end He will not going to answer your prayers. In who you believe? It's Hashem, Father of mercy. The way of Yetzer Hara to tell lies on top of lies on top of lies on top of lies. And in the time of darkness, you need to remember the light. In the time of the destruction, you need to remember that the Savior, that the Mashiach born in that day of Tisha B'Av, that the salvation of Am Yisrael is starting in the moment of the destruction. Because all of the reason of the destruction is to rebuild Am Yisrael in a shiner way, in a more beautiful way. In a more perfect way. This is why, exactly like that, what I explained to you on the holy tablets, Hashem grew in Beit HaMikdash because people started to worship Beit HaMikdash and they stopped worship Hashem. They stopped believing Hashem. It was a huge favor that Hashem removed Beit HaMikdash from us. Because we had Beit HaMikdash anymore. So when you have Beit HaMikdash, you don't need Hashem. Because you can bring your sacrifices and this is it. And it's been forgiven. Like the Baal HaSulam is saying, when you have your lacking and you wish for Hashem Yitbarach, then it's a perfect situation. Because this is reality, that you need Hashem. But when you already been answered on your prayer, and now you have all of that fortune that you were praying on, you don't need Hashem anymore. That situation is wrong. Something is wrong here. You're going to say thank you. You're going to praise Hashem. Hopefully you're going to be able to keep that 1 hour mitzvot every day. A heart you will not going to have. And humility you're not going to have. So why is Hashem going to ruin all of that beautiful thing that you have by answering your prayers? For you it's better. For us it's better not to be answered yet until we're going to complete that vessel of humility, that even then we're going to be rich and successful, we're going to remember that we don't have nothing. And until then, it's better for us to be without Beis HaMikdash, and to be without our financial success, and without our imaginary happiness that we imagine to ourselves that's going to if I'm going to have this, I'm going to be happy. If I'm going to have that, I'm going to be happy. And everything that you achieve doesn't help you at all. So it's better for us to work on humility, to work on faith, that it's all from Him, and to accept things as they are now. As they are. Now you can be perfect with Hashem. Now you can believe in Hashem. And this is what that you want, to be close to Hashem. If you're going to receive whatever you pray on, you don't have no guarantee that you're going to keep on remembering Hashem. Maybe you're going to make it through that Toda'a, hopefully. Hopefully. Hopefully that you're going to remember to thank Hashem for 2 weeks after your salvation. Hopefully. Hopefully. That for 2 weeks you're going to remember Hashem after your salvation. Hopefully. Hopefully. Again and again. Hopefully 2 weeks. Hopefully. For 7 brachot that you're going to complete the 7 brachot. Hopefully. 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 Admit. Stand. I'm now confessing in front of you. I know the truth. I know about myself. Easy to forget. Easy to forget. Hard to buy, easy to lose. This is the nature of Divrei Torah. This is the nature of holiness. Hard to achieve them, easy to lose them. So it's better for us to accept the condition as is and to thank Hashem Yitbarach on His amazing private supervision on every detail and detail. And now you can pray. Now you can say, Hashem, please, let me receive the things that I need, but that it will not going to damage my faith. That I'm not going to lose my faith. That I'm not going to lose my faith. And if I'm going to lose my faith, I don't want it. I'd rather to stay as I am like now, right now. I'd rather. It's better for me to stay like I told you a few weeks ago, to stay a sinner, to keep on crying against Hashem, and to remember my humility that I'm zero, than not to sin at all and to think I'm righteous. To imagine to myself like I achieved something in Avodat Hashem. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want to be close to Hashem. And Hashem is close to you only when you're humble. If you can be also humble and also rich, be rich. No problem. But if you're going to lose your humility, means going to lose Hashem for money, who needs money? Who wants money? So Bezat Hashem, let's remember, Rabbeinu is saying Bechiya, the letters Bechiya, crying to Hashem Yitbarach, it's the first letters of the verse B'Shimcha Yagilun Kol Hayom. In your name they're going to be happy all day long. Even when you're crying, you need to cry out of happiness, out of joy. Thank you Hashem Yitbarach that you let me pray. Thank you Hashem Yitbarach that you let me mourn. Thank you Hashem Yitbarach that I care about Beit HaMikdash, that I care about connecting myself to Am Yisrael. And to increase the prayers on the soldiers, on all of Am Yisrael, that Mamash is still in a huge battle, huge fight. Keep on praying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us all and going to redeem us with faith. Thank you very much. Chazak u'baruch.